Do you and Alicia have like assigned chores, that there are some chores that you do and some chores that just your wife does, Raven?
Well, not officially, but yes, I guess inherently would be the way to say it. So when she's cleaning the house, a lot of times I'll try and help her clean, but she typically handles the bathrooms. I do the polishing. She does the dusting. I do the vacuuming. Like, we've got different things that we split up. Dishes, it's supposed to be whoever's there, mm-hmm. but both of us will ignore them from time to time.
Yeah. So here's the question I have. If you have noticed that Alicia has not been doing what she normally typically does, right?
Yeah.
Would you address it, or would you just keep your mouth shut and not say a word?
Well, I would try and pick up the slack if I could for a moment. I would ignore it past then. And every time she brings it up, I tell her the house just looks great and I move on, because I figure there's a reason.
So at my house, we don't have said chores, same like yours, but there's things that I do and there's things that Paul does, my right. husband. The one thing I do not do is outside. Like, I don't touch the yard work because okay. I don't know anything about it and I don't want to know anything about it. And I, to be honest, I have zero interest in it whatsoever.
Sure.
And I've never said anything because he's always done a great job. He mows the lawn. He takes care of the flowers. He takes care of it. I actually think it's a stress reliever for him, to be honest.
Right. Right. Well, he knows you're not coming out there.
Right. But he's like, somebody's got to do it. But lately, the weeds are out of control.
Yeah.
Like, there's weeds that I've never even seen before that are like 2 feet tall in this like one area. And at first I saw it, I was like, huh, that's weird.
Yeah.
And like, I know that he's got a lot going on with work and he's busy, but like, it seems like it's crazy. But I don't know if I say to him, hey, are we going to address this?
Yeah.
If he's going to jump down my throat and it's going to be one of those things where it's like, well, why don't you get out there and do it?
Wow.
Like, and we all know I don't really want to do it.
Well, weeds, I mean, it's all about when you put the product down. And if you've got weeds already coming up and he didn't put anything down earlier this year, there's probably not much you can do about it. Do you get on him and say, well, what are we supposed to do? The girls are going to play out here this afternoon, or the dogs or whatever. You can't put this down?
No, because it's kind of like off to the side where they wouldn't play. We call it the graveyard because it's kind of like,
oh, that's
nasty
where
anyway, where the dog goes to the bathroom and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, it's what I had said to him, and I mentioned it in passing. I go, maybe we should hire somebody this year to help us out. We got a lot on our plates.
Oh, that's an insult.
Well,
you can't say that.
Right.
All right. That's an insult, especially if he put some effort in last year or whatever, because, you know, really getting your lawn in order will take a couple of years when you buy a house.
It's always the same conversation when I say things like that. Oh, you're rich. Oh, I didn't know that we were rich. we're rich now. We hire people to do things like this. I'm like, I don't know. I don't know what's the right or wrong answer. But here's what I do know.
What's that?
That those weeds are really tall. And I'm afraid we're gonna lose one of our children in it, or our dog.
Anna and Raven's Pick'em News.
It's three stories, but you only get to hear about one, and Raven gets to pick which one it is. Ready, Raven?
Sure, what do you got?
Number one, Australian wakes up with Irish accent after surgery. Number two, woman holds fake funeral for boyfriend so mistress thinks he's dead. And number three, pet tiger roams Houston neighborhood.
Well, I've heard a lot about the pet tiger, and that story has just got so many legs. I honestly feel like even with all the information that you have on hand, you probably could not explain that to me in that time.
Uh-huh.
Irish and Australian accent, you know, for me over the last few years, my impersonations, they've morphed into one and the same anyways.
Your accents are terrible.
Yeah. So yep. I'm going to go with the fake funeral. Sounds like a decent story I'd like to hear about.
All right. So Thea Loveridge claims that she held a fake funeral for her ex-boyfriend so his mistress would think that he was dead. Here she is explaining what happened.
I found out that he was cheating on me the whole time I was pregnant with his ex-girlfriend, and he ended up going to jail shortly after. She was messaging him trying to figure out where he was, like all confused why he wasn't talking to her. So I messaged her and told her that he was dead.
Yep.
It seems cruel.
Uh-huh.
But if you're running around and you got a scandalous cheating thing going on and you are the other woman, you kind of deserve what you get, don't you?
You know I shouldn't say this because I know everybody's situation is different.
Oh, boy.
But you got a baby on the way with a guy that's going to jail. He's not your husband. He's just your boyfriend. And now you find out that the mistress is still in the picture. Maybe you go. Maybe you decide that's the end of it. But no.
Well, sure. I mean, that would probably be the end of it. But if you plan on keeping the child, I mean, at some point, you're going to want that guy to pay his due, right?
Well, yeah. But do you go as far to do this?
Oh, I'd bury him.
And we had a fake funeral and everything.
Yeah.
And it's been 3 years and she still thinks he's dead. And she posts little tributes every year on her Facebook page to the love of her life.
Good. Now
that's evil. That's a little evil. But still, I really, really, really want to know what the fake funeral really entailed.
Well, that's what I
want to know.
Funerals are a lot of money.
Right.
Like, so I'm thinking, I'm like, well, it obviously wasn't open casket because there's no body. What did they do? They just put a picture of him up there? How did he die?
I like to think her and her sister went into like a wake and like just snapped some photos of themselves standing
selfies.
Over somebody else. Standing over somebody else's box, right? And they were like, it was a terrible day.
If you were going to tell a mistress, why?
I'd already be dead. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Just fill in the rest of that sentence right there. All right.
How did you die?
You've met my wife. She either hit me with a truck or exploded me or something.
Here's the situation, Raven. Follow closely.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
You have been cheating on your wife, Alicia.
Oh, my God.
She finds out that there's a mistress.
Right.
Now you go to jail for something shady that you did. She's going to throw a fake funeral to get rid of this mistress.
Yeah.
How did you die, according to Alicia?
A jousting incident.
Oh,
or
no.
Something terrible. Something terrible, tragic, medieval, and definitely involves me being impaled on something.
No, you got eaten by a bear.
Well,
that's what happened.
Also a possibility, I suppose.
You were out in the wilderness, and out came a bear and ripped you to shreds.
I'm unbelievably uncomfortable, made so by every bit of this conversation.
Uh-huh, yep. I figured.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 This is a good one on our text line this morning. Huh, it's ironic. People who stare, that's all I need to know about you. You know, Hayden was actually telling me, my 12-year-old, that, it's a weird hybrid at her school. So there's some people that are remote and then some people that are in class and whatever. So she says, like, whenever she gets up to go get a tissue because her allergies are so bad, there's always this one person that stares at her. And she can see her on the screen just staring at her. And she's like, it makes me uncomfortable, Mommy. I'm like, just ignore her. But there are, those people that just stare.
Yeah, there are those people. And you know what? One of the most uncool thing that you can do, I think, when you're younger or at any age, really, is stand up and go, what is there a problem? What are you looking at? Because they might just be in a daze, right? Like, they might just be staring off into space. But sometimes it is awkward and off-putting. Some people, maybe you're just in their frame of view. Producer Sean always talks about the fact that I'm looking at Producer John. Producer John happens to be in my pivot point line of vision. That's where his seat is. That's where he's positioned. So
it gets
weird.
Sean jealous that you're looking at John?
Now, if I catch some weirdos looking at, my wife or the kids or whatever, then I might ask over time. But, it is one of the most uncool things to bring up.
That's all I need to know about you. It's true. If you ever have one, you could always call or text 1-800-330-9999. You just have to fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you.
I've got a nice one today. If you're willing to indulge a pair of helicopter pet parents after a day full of surgeries, that's all I need to know about you. Yesterday, Barkley had surgery, my little puppy boy, and we were very scared. We were very nervous, and he was very nervous and scared too. You just don't know whether or not you're making the right decision for them. He had a leg injury, and just this surgeon could not have been nicer. I mean, they have COVID rules in place, so you're still not meeting these people face to face, which is very difficult. You're allowing somebody to put your dog under anesthesia. To me, it's like my kid. So she not only talked to us for an hour and a half before the surgery, but she talked to us yesterday for an hour after a day full of surgeries. And she was just so nice and so gentle and explained everything and really made us feel like, we can handle this. We can do this. He's going to be all right. That kind of thing.
Well, that's all you need to know about her. She's a great veterinarian. Yeah.
Great, great surgeon.
That's
so thank
awesome.
You very much. Appreciate her job.
On a not so great note.
No.
If you trespass and pretend to be a high school student so you can gain more TikTok followers, that's all I need to know about you.
It's got
to
be illegal, right? I mean, that woman's got to get arrested.
Yeah. So a 28-year-old woman, she's been charged with trespassing in order to stay out of a Miami high school because she was pretending to be a student. Here are the teachers talking about it.
She pretends to be a student, is walking around this high school, handing out pre-printed pamphlets with her social media Instagram name on it.
She's trying to get people to follow her on Instagram.
She literally was just looking to be arrested for attention.
It doesn't make any sense.
Like, right?
And like, first of all, if you're 28 years old, 29 years old, you really think you're going to pass off as a junior in high school?
Yeah.
But then
21 Jump Street.
Well, I started giggling though because Hayden, my oldest, she's doing a report on Olivia Newton-John in school.
Yeah.
Did you know that Olivia Newton-John was 29 years old when she filmed Grease?
That's
Isn't that crazy?
Actually, it's not that surprising.
Right?
I mean, look at John Travolta's chin in that thing, right? What's he, 40? It's like Luke Perry on 90210. Nobody was fooled by that.
It's true, yeah. I don't think I actually believe that it might be true until I heard Matt Damon say this.
I love them both. I hope it's true. That would be awesome.
I was like, wait a minute. If Matt Damon is saying that Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez might be getting back together and he thinks that it would be awesome if it was true, I'm like, maybe this is real. Even though I saw the pictures of them on vacation in Montana.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I feel like J-Lo is just, you know, she's swooping in. Little, you know, girl time where she feels like she's getting, you know, kind of propped up by an old guy. I know Ben Affleck's still got a thing for her. I mean, why wouldn't he? Of course he does. But I don't think that this is long for her. I think that he'll go on pining for her, but I don't think it's long for her. I don't know.
It's one of those things where it's like the story of 2021 that nobody saw coming.
Right.
You know, it's like after they made that terrible movie, Gigli, I'm like, this is it. It's like there's no turning back.
This.
No one.
Nobody survived. I mean, Al Pacino had to go into hiding for like 2-3 years after that.
Oh, man. But like when you get back with an ex, you're really rolling the dice on what's going to happen in that situation. I have always had a hard rule, Raven.
Yeah.
Is that if I broke up with you, broke up, I ain't never turning back because there's reasons.
I got to tell you, I prefer the relationships actually when you break up and you actually never see that person again. I've had a couple of those in my life where you don't know if that person's alive or dead later on in life.
And that's how you like it.
And that's actually how I like it. It tends to be easier in some ways. Yeah, I don't know. When you get back together, in my experience with an ex, it's going to be hot and heavy for the first few days, maybe a week or whatever. Then you're going to run right into the same problems you had before. That honeymoon period is over even quicker the second time.
1-800-330-9999. You can call or text. Did you ever get back with an ex? What happened? Did you actually get back? What happened?
So, I mean, there's been a couple times where I did, you know, when I was younger, whether it be, you know, high school or after high school or whatever. And again, the same arguments come up. I did have a serious relationship with a girl that I lived with. And then we, you know, broke up. We moved out or whatever. Year or two later, she reached out. I was like, sure, come on by. I was working a DJ gig. She came by or whatever. And same old thing. Like, we were hanging out for a minute, and then she just put the same hang-ups around me, right? Like, maybe I'll talk to you when you're not working. Maybe I'll talk to you. Like, you know my life. I'm always working. Yeah. It's the same as it was when we broke up before.
That's why I have this thing where it's like, if you had the issues the first time.
That's right.
But one of my best girlfriends in the whole world, Stephanie, I'll never forget it. It's like, I actually introduced her to the guy, right? And they started dating, and they dated for a long time, a couple years, and then they broke up. And they broke up for, like, I would say at least 3 years. And they got back together, and they've been happily married for at least 10 years. They've got two kids.
What do you think it was that tore apart Jennifer and Ben Affleck the first time?
The movie, probably. No, I don't know.
Well, if that was the case, then that is something you could get over.
Well, it makes you wonder, like, what. Is there certain times when you get back with an ex because something big didn't happen? Like if somebody cheated on you, I feel like you have a hard time going back to that because that sting is always going to be there.
Sure, sure. But if you don't have closure in other aspects of your relationship, sometimes you might be led into that. Is that what you're saying?
I guess so. All this talk about J-Lo, Ben Affleck getting back together. You don't know if it's real or not. But the truth of the matter is sometimes you should get back with an ex, but most of the times you shouldn't, right?
Yeah, a lot of times it's, you know, it's a tough thing to go back and act like the situation is going to be any different. How much do people truly change? On the other hand, it's going to be hot and heavy for a few days. You'll get all that physical thing going on that you haven't had for a while. All that pent up feeling you had with that person. You've got experience. But after that, then like you actually have to have a conversation.
Right. Well, I mean, I have one of my best friends. She broke up with her boyfriend for years and then they got back and they've been happily married for over a decade. They've got two kids together.
And
so
we should be clear here. Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez live in a different world, right?
True.
So they can fly in, be hot and heavy for 5-6 days in Montana or whatever, and then fly out and go back to their busy lives. So, you know, things like that can drag on a little bit longer for them than they would for others.
1-800-330-9999. Hey, it's Anna and Raven. Did you break up with somebody and then get back with them?
Yes.
What happened?
He was so narcissistic. Oh, my God. He shredded me to everyone. I didn't know that he was telling all types of lies. He even had people thinking that I talked about them, everything. Oh, it's bad. People don't want to be my friend no more. They don't want to be bothered with me. Nothing. He was cheating. He was doing all types of stuff, things to make me jealous, everything. Red flags. When you see red flags, stay away.
So when you got back together, like, how did that go? I mean, or was that the second time, not the first time?
Well, the second time, he wasn't trying to be sweet, but his narcissistic traits came back out again.
Yeah, I mean, when you date somebody crazy, they're always crazy.
Not this twice, three times.
You went back to him three times, because every time they say they're going to change, but they don't change.
Right, that's the thing about somebody like that, right?
No, it was three times, but, you know, the last time it was, you know, I felt bad because his mother died and he needed somebody there for him. But I found out this man, that monk, was doing all types of stuff, so he was ego.
Yeah, manipulator, right.
Producer John, what happened when you got back with your ex?
It was freshman year of college. I'm there for 2 weeks, and I break up with my girlfriend. Terrible thing to do, but, you know, that's what I did.
So wait a minute. The girlfriend that you had, was this a girlfriend before in high school?
Oh, yeah, 2 years, high school sweetheart, whole thing.
Two weeks in, he's like, oh, there's more girls
gone.
Here.
That's what he did.
Gone. Yeah, sure. No, it was awful. Sure. So we get back together on Columbus Day weekend, right? Because I'm feeling all sad. I go up to visit.
Because he's had no luck with any of the other girls.
No luck, exactly. Right. I go up to visit her at her school a couple of weeks later. I drive hours north to go. I see her. She's in a play. I see the play. I see her after the play. She goes, you know, I've been thinking about it. I think we're done. And I'm like, I'm hours away from my school. I don't have anywhere to sleep. Perfect. I had nowhere to sleep. Luckily, this was at UMass Amherst, the number three party school in the country. So I figured something out that night.
Sorry.
That made it sound bad. Not that way. But yes, no, I found a place to sleep.
John's what a terrible jerk. Person.
It was really.
I deserve everything she gave you.
I 100% deserve it.
Does anybody feel bad for John?
No.
I don't. Clearly. Raise your hands if
clearly.
You feel bad for John. Nope, you should.
If she was Juliet, she left with Romeo.
Yeah.
Clearly, that's what happened there.
How do you know if you're accidentally joining a cult and you're not ready?
That's the thing about cults, man. They're real attractive on the outside, right? And then when you're signing up, there's finger foods, there's activities, there's cool things coming together. You think you're hanging out with people that finally get you.
New friends.
Yeah.
Right.
Then you realize that, wait a minute.
This is a cult.
I might be in a cult.
1-800-330-9999. What's a cult that is not actually a cult? I've been obsessed with, and I know poor Raven has been hearing a whole lot about this, how I'm dying to get the new Peloton.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And I'm on the app.
In the face of Peloton telling you you're not going to be able to get this for a while, we're pulling it back.
Yeah, so Peloton, I've been on the wait list for 6 months for the treadmill. Then they had all the terrible things happen, and now they've pulled them back and they've recalled them. And I'm just sitting there waiting. I pay $12 a month for the app. Just because I can't wait to be part of it?
Right, just for it to be there.
Right.
You're part of this community, yet you don't have a single stat in there already.
Nope. Yeah. But everyone that I know that's on Peloton is like, they're so addicted to it. I'm like, I kind of want to be part of this family. It's like how I got into Zumba, because Zumba's a cult. And I'm one of the leaders of that cult to this day. And my Zumba classes would come in and we're like, all right, everybody, gather up. Get your spot. Ready to go? It's a cult.
Right.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What do you think is a cult that's not really a cult?
Those people that walk around with their phones outside looking for imaginary Pokemon. I mean, this is a cult. I've always wondered why these people have so much time on their hands. I mean, they're adults. It's not like they're kids.
There's so many of these people in my neighborhood. Geocaching. That's like the whole thing. Yeah, it's I don't know. It seems a little bit odd to me, but.
What if they had like a dangerous leader that was sending them bad information, right? Then it would be scary.
Yeah.
Right? It would be scary. Yeah. It's kind of like a marching army going to nowhere with no idea why they're going there.
Like, how do you know you're not going to end up in the middle of a lake and you're just following a stranger?
Know.
It's a cult leader just telling you where to go and you're just following it on your phone.
I guess that's the fun of the game is you never know whether or not you're walking off a cliff in the middle of a dark.
That is a cult.
See?
Sometimes cults present themselves and it's obvious that they're a cult, right? Mm-hmm. Like if we've all got shaved heads and we're selling pencils or we're handing out something at the airport or something, then it's obvious, right? But there's other times where it's a little bit more discreet. So I'm watching Good Girls this weekend, right, on NBC. Great show. There's a thing where he's started bike riding with a couple other guys in the neighborhood, right?
Yeah.
So here they are. They stop at the park. They're telling some jokes, some stories. And then the three guys that he's bike riding with that have known each other before start talking to him about selling men's skin products.
Oh, here we go.
That's right.
It's a cult. The people that sell the lotion, they're a cult, definitely.
He says, wait a minute, this is a pyramid scam. He said, no. How about an opportunity for you to reach out with a strong base to a network that's already been defined?
That's definitely a cult. The more I read about this, the more I wonder, have I been in several cults in my life and I didn't even realize it?
What else was a cult?
So okay, you're in a cult. If there is a leader who proclaims himself as having special powers or special insight.
Okay.
Okay. The group is closed. So in other words, there has to be an inner circle, right?
Sure, all sure.
All right. And it's pressure to be in it and you have to perform. All
it
right.
Sounds kind of like radio, actually.
Wait a minute.
In a way.
Is radio a cult?
Radio might also be a cult.
Yeah.
That's funny.
1-800-330-9999. What's a cult that's not really a cult? The reason why we bring this up is because I've been so desperate to get a Peloton and to join. And as I'm looking back on it and on the wait list, I pay for the app every month, even though I don't have any of the machines.
They really lured you in, and now you're completely hooked.
I'm like, I want to compete. I want to know more about Cody.
Right.
You know?
Still don't even have the equipment.
Exactly. I'm like, wait a minute. Am I joining a cult by getting involved in this? Hi, it's Anna on Raven. What's a cult that's not really a cult?
Professional sports. I mean, basically, you've got a bunch of people that are ravenously beating up each other, yelling at each other, yelling for these teams, living and dying by these people's everything they do on the field, and they're making you go off and buy all their merchandise as well. Sports is a cult.
That's
why I've been telling people we got to get rid of water polo for years.
Mm-hmm.
All right? You guys are out
it's
of control.
Dangerous. You're right, Raven. It's dangerous.
That's right. Synchronized swimming. You know how many people get injured? Come on.
Synchronized swimming might be a cult.
You're right, actually. It might be, now that I mention it.
It has to be. It's shaved heads and everything. Shave your body and go swimming.
Anything that involves, like, elaborate outfits in the pool, you're right. Might be a cult.
That's not like I'm thinking about Zumba, like how Zumba is a cult.
Definitely.
I mean, there was a point 100%. Where I was wearing neon baggy pants with one leg lifted.
Yeah.
Obviously, I was in a cult.
Yeah, you don't speak Colombian either, but you're out there dancing, shaking, all those things.
That
Come
was
on.
A cult.
Yeah, you're 100% in a cult.
On our text line, a triathlon people are in a cult. I mean, if you can convince me to run 100 miles, yeah, then go in the water, then get on a bike, you're right. Like, you're probably in a cult at that point.
Alicia's grandfather just turned 78 the other day. He still runs like 7 miles every day, and he has nowhere to be. It's not like he's running to get somewhere.
Mm.
He's just running around.
Do you think he's the leader of the cult?
Everybody in the neighborhood knows who he is because they've seen him with his shirt off for the past 50 years.
That's definitely a cult. 1-800-330-9999. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's a cult that's not really a cult?
So I really think that all these like Disney fanatics out there, like collecting all their collectibles, they're definitely a cult. Like, I like Mickey also, but I don't like go to Disney 6 times a year and wear those adult pants with those mouse ears on them. Totally a cult.
I mean, but watch out, because they're a dangerous cult. that's the thing is, I might agree with you, except I'm fearful of my life.
Uh-huh.
And I wouldn't do it. Groups of people you don't upset. Don't upset, what is it, the Beehive with Beyonce?
Right.
Don't do that.
Right.
Don't do that.
The Beliebers?
And the fans of Prince.
You can't mess with those.
Even after he's gone. Don't talk about nothing about the purple one. They will come
Hold
for
on.
You.
The purple, what do they call themselves? The purple.
I don't know.
Oh, my
don't
gosh.
Don't say it wrong.
Don't say it wrong. They'll
it's
come
the
after.
The Prince Army, I think.
The Purple Army.
Oh,
the purple
gosh.
Army.
I don't know.
Oh.
Forget I said anything.
Raven, you open your eye in the middle of the night. And there's only one Disney character standing above you. Which one scares you the most?
They're all terrifying in that setting,
right.
Actually.
Dark, it's dim. You open up one eye, and there's his head.
The
or her
scariest.
Head for the scariest one.
Gosh, Goofy. Because
I was going to say Goofy, too.
Look at the teeth. The size of those teeth.
And the little wacky hat.
Oh,
like,
my
you
gosh.
You look up, and you're like, you're not surviving that. Like, there's no way you come out of that alive. I just got a text message from one of my girlfriends, Maria. I think she may be a leader of the Peloton cult because she knows that I'm waiting to get my Peloton and she's been pushing me. And that's what cults do is they like,
right,
they give
they
you pressure.
You.
Right,
right, right, right.
And she goes, I love Cody and you will too. Cody might also be one of the leaders of the Peloton cult.
Right. Sounds some like sort of messiah or something like that. No, it's just an app.
On our text line at 1-800-330-9999, CrossFit is a cult. I'll sign off on that.
I never heard the term burpee until CrossFit arrived.
They have their own language, like the WAB, and then they're like flipping tires and stuff.
100%.
Yeah. What do you think is a cult? It's not really a cult, but you believe it is. Hi, it's Anna and Raven.
People who are obsessed with Halloween, they literally should have their own cult. Like, I can't tell you how many times someone tells me that Halloween is their favorite holiday and they keep decorations up year-round or post how excited they are for Halloween or how it's getting closer and closer. They're worse than the Christmas people. I don't know. I definitely think it should be considered a cult. Like, you're just wearing, like, a bunny costume. Like, what?
Interesting.
What's your favorite holiday, Anna?
I like Thanksgiving because there's no gifts, and I like that it's just family and eating. It's really my two favorite things, food. Yeah,
I don't really have a favorite one. I'm just like, these are the ones that I'm stuck with. These are the ones on the calendar, right?
But you know I love Halloween. Like, I might be one of the people she's talking about. No. Like, I do up Halloween, and it's, I kind of go over the edge with it.
I won't bow to you in this strange cult of yours.
You did bring up a good point, though. What's more weird, the Halloween freaks or the Christmas freaks? Christmas freaks, I feel like, is just joy, though, so I can't really call them freaks.
Yeah, but that's just, that's framing, right? Mm-hmm. Eye of the beholder.
Yeah.
Maybe that's their trick.
If you have earrings that are also Santa Claus, though, that's weird. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What do you think could be a cult?
Oh, my gosh. People who wear Crocs. I mean, you can love them or hate them, but the people who love them really, really love them, even knowing how divisive they are. I almost feel like it's an identifier for the secret cult that already exists.
They want to be part of that shock and awe crowd, right? You're either with me or against me, Anna.
I can't believe how many celebrities have been wearing Crocs. Like, they almost went out of business in 2014, Crocs. And now they have such a resurgence that they can't even keep up with the demand.
I feel like those people are being paid, though, right?
Oh, I'm sure they're being paid. But look, it's working. Justin Bieber wears them. Nicki Minaj wore them this week. All of a sudden, everybody's got to have these Crocs.
I'm guessing they're not wearing them when nobody's actually watching.
Maybe. They're very comfortable. I bought a pair for my daughter. We wear the same size. And I'm not going to lie, I've been wearing them around the house.
Oh.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What do you think could be a cult?
So I actually worked for one of those door-to-door marketing firms when I was just fresh out of college. And I mean, I know they're total scams. Don't get me wrong. But I mean, hey, I was broke. I needed a job, you know. And it was the rah-rah go team meetings. Literally every single morning were like, I mean, really freaking creepy, okay? No one should be that excited to sell window shades to strangers at 7 a.m. in the morning. I mean, come on.
I'm so curious. How many actual window shades did you sell door to door? Like, when you show up, who's like, you know what? Yes, give me your pitch and I will take four window shades.
What is the percentage?
It was literally like out of like every like 20 houses I went to, like one, maybe like one person would be interested. Like, I mean, half the time people didn't even answer the door.
That feels like a high number. And I got to tell you, door-to-door salespeople are a cult. No question about it. Mm-hmm. The worst used to be the magazine people.
They'd
show up with that van, let all those weird kids out at the end of the road and then sell magazines to people.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Totally a cult.
Yeah, for sure.
Do any other parents have this problem? You know, I used to criticize these parents, and I used to say that they were obviously probably doing something wrong for their children to be like this. And now that I am that parent, I realize how wrong I was, and I'm ashamed that I ever, ever said anything.
What's going on? What happened?
Friday, after work, I get home, and Dakota, my two-year-old, she's playing, and she's doing her little, she's bopping around, she's doing her thing, and she's got her dinosaurs, and she's got one dinosaur in one hand, and the other hand, she's rah, rah, rah. And I'm not a crier, Raven. Like, right. It takes a lot to make me cry. But she comes up to me and she goes, Mommy, Mommy. And I said, Yeah, Mama, yeah. And she bit my arm so hard. Look, it was like a dinosaur had attached itself right into my forearm.
Saber-toothed toddler.
And I did it. And I don't know what came over me because the pain was so surprising and shocking. And I started crying. And then I started crying so hard that I couldn't breathe. I was like, crying because she doesn't know why Mommy's crying.
Right, right.
And it was a mess. And I go, my kid's a biter. She's a biter.
I was going to ask, so was it the pain initially was the shock?
Mm-hmm.
And then as you're crying and you're realizing why you're crying, then it's the realization that I have a biter.
I have a biter.
There's a biter in the house, and somehow this happened to me. It's probably my fault because it's my child.
This is the third time that she's bit me. And I'm wondering, like,
wow, okay.
How did this happen?
And because do you have to report her? Sooner or later.
If
you've got a dog that's got a biting problem, like, sometimes they want to show up and get the dog.
She's not like my dog. She's my child.
So nobody's going to take your child, is what you're saying, if you call somebody and tell them that she's a biter?
I don't know. Right? Do they take kids away for biting? No.
I don't know.
And I remember when my oldest daughter, Hayden, she was in preschool. There was a biter in her class. And I remember thinking, like, what is wrong with those parents?
Right.
Like, teach your kid not to bite other kids.
Right. Where is this biter coming from?
Right.
Keep an eye on them. Remember that name. You're going to be reading in the paper for decades to come.
What parent says it's okay for their kids to bite? And here I am. I want to go on the record to say, I've never taught Dakota to bite somebody.
Right.
Like, I don't know where
she picked
this up.
You should apologize now, actually. I mean, if you're doing the record thing.
Oh, my gosh. Her teeth are like little daggers, and they just go right in, just like a dinosaur,
sharp,
right in there. And all I keep thinking is, how do I make this stop? And I do the whole thing where I sit down with her.
Right.
I explain that that hurts. And I have to be honest. I'm thankful she's never hurt. I never bit somebody else. It's just me. She's bit Hayden, too, my older daughter.
But she won't report it.
I think she probably deserved it. Hayden was, like, pushing her buttons a little bit, like, maybe in that situation.
So you sit her down, and you tell her calmly that you can't do it, and then what happens?
And then, you know, she looks at me because she's two, and then she goes back to playing with her dinosaurs like none of it ever happened because she's two.
I thought she was going to roll over and bite you again in defiance.
It's not funny. It wasn't funny at the time. It's funny now, but it's not funny when you realize that you have a biter and you're not sure how to do it.
If you walk in today and she bites you again, you'll be crying again. Make no
100%.
Mistakes. It's not funny when you get home.
No. I cried so hard that my 12-year-old that was downstairs in the basement in the playroom came running upstairs because she thinks that something terrible happened.
Like, what happened, Mom? What's going on?
She's like, Mommy never cries. If she's crying that bad, something terrible must have happened. So she walks in and she's like, Mommy, what happened? And I'm like, she bit me! She bit me! And she's like, who bit you? And I'm like, Dakota! Dakota's my 2-year-old. Yeah.
It's a dangerous game playing with toddlers, man.
I don't know how this happened. I thought I did everything right, and I somehow my toddler is a biter. And I'm pretty fortunate that she's really only bit me and, you know, her sister Hayden. She hasn't bitten any other kids, thank God.
Nobody of authority yet at this point.
But how do you deal with it? Did you have a biter too? What did you do? 1-800-330-9999. Hey, it's Anna and Raven.
Hi, good morning. Yes.
What did you do? How did you handle it?
Well, I'm thankful that she has not bit anybody else. But oddly enough, this is going to sound so bizarre, but she bites herself.
Oh.
Oh, boy. How old is she?
She's 2.5.
Is this something like they're supposed to grow out of, Anna? Or do they just, if they start biting at an early age, like they're going to be a biter forever?
I hope not, because she's like obsessed with bandages. So she pretends to like put them on all over herself, all over me, all over that. So when I came home on Monday, she had a bandage, like, on her hand, so I just assumed that it was, like, a plaything. And then she starts crying, and I'm like, what's going on? And she goes to me, bite, bite. Like, who bit you? And she goes, me, me. And I started laughing, of course. I thought it was funny at first, but then I'm like, oh, my God. If this is my life at 2.5, what's going to happen?
I don't know.
At, like, 13 and 14.
Godspeed to us both. I don't know how we're going to survive this.
Are you watching zombie shows? Or where is she getting this from?
Okay, so she does watch a lot of, like, Jurassic Park, because she does watch some zombie stuff, but she's never, like, she's never acted on it until Monday, the self-inflicted attack.
Maybe less Jurassic Park, and I'm going to be paying extra close attention to Paw Patrol this week to make sure that there's nothing questionable about biting.
Do they do zombie episodes on Paw Patrol? I would check that out.
I'm going to find out. Thank you for the call. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Is your child a biter, or were they a biter?
My children have bit in the past, and way back when, you're going to think this is terrible, but our pediatrician actually said that when they bite you and they really hurt you, that you should bite them back.
I've heard that theory.
We've had people call in before, and they've said you need to bite her back. I don't think I have it in me to bite my baby.
No, I don't mean maybe as hard. I don't mean maybe as hard as she did.
Yeah.
But enough that will startle her
mm-hmm.
and make her realize, wow, that's what that actually feels like.
On the sliding scale between, let's say, squirrel and great white shark, where do you think that falls?
I feel
where
does it? I'm not, I can't.
How do you know what the line is, right? Because, I mean, you are upset, too, at that time. So,
yeah.
The human part of you wants to be like, you want to really give it a good.
Right.
But then you realize, wait a minute, this is my child.
Right, you can't do that. I think if you had a chipmunk or a squirrel bite, it has to be, like, has to hurt. They have, like, little
daggers. I would think so,
feet.
Man.
Yeah,
squirrel will hurt you.
I'm not going to bite my baby. Am I going to bite my baby? No, I'm not going to bite my baby.
I mean, you haven't bitten her until this time.
Oh, man.
But at some point, you might.
I can't. Thank you, Jess. I just ordered the book you suggested. Teeth Are Not for Biting. That's the name of the book. I just ordered it on Amazon by Elizabeth. I can't read the title. It's so small. Elizabeth Verdick.
Well, thank you for the help.
Yeah.
Appreciate that. Fish are friends, not food.
So, my 2-year-old, even when I say it out loud, I have to shake my head. Dakota, my 2.5-year-old, is a biter. I don't know when this happened, but Friday she bit me so hard that I burst into tears because it hurt so badly. And I'm not one of those people that cries easily. It hurt so bad. And I was like, we've got a real problem here. She's a biter.
Right.
And I'm lucky that she hasn't bit anybody else except for her immediate family, me, my other daughter.
Nobody that's going to call somebody.
Well, yet.
Right.
That's the problem. So I don't really know how to deal with it now that I've ordered this book. It's one step in the right direction. How did you deal with your biter? 1-800-330-9999. Hey, it's Anna and Raven.
I was a biter. My sister was a biter. And I did have two biters.
What? Is it hereditary?
Wow, I was going to say, right? I mean, it sounds like...
I don't know. It must be. But when I was younger, I was 5 years old, and I was a bad biter. I actually bit my cousin and practically broke his skin. And my aunt grabbed my arm and bit me back. And from that day, I never bit again. Same thing with my sister. And unfortunately... yes, as bad as it does sound, with my now 14-year-old and 5-year-old, which are no longer biters, same age as your daughter, were horrible biters at 2 years old. And again, the pediatrician's like, just bite them back.
So did you just bite them back or did you drive them to your aunt's house?
Unfortunately, rest her soul, she's passed. But if you want to drive them to me, I'll bite them. No,
right. Yeah, you volunteering to bite nice my baby. Hey, Anna and Raven, do you have a biter?
Yeah, I did. My son, he used to take chunks out of his siblings. It was terrible, and we tried everything. And then one day he bit his older brother right in front of me, and I was like, that's it. You like to bite people. Let's see how you like it if they bite you back. And I held my toddler down and I let my older son bite him.
Oh my gosh. Like,
and let me tell you something. I don't know who was more freaked out, the little one or the older one.
Well, right, because wow. Mommy's lost her mind.
Right. Yeah. Right, I mean, clearly, right.
And I know that feeling.
You're supposed
I know.
To be the moral compass, yeah. And here you are. You led them
go
into
ahead.
A snuff film.
Just bite her.
This
go
is
ahead.
Terrible.
I lost my mind.
Yes.
I lost it, and we were all traumatized by it. I was traumatized, the little one, the older one. It was like, I don't know, it was like a triangle of...
I want all three of you on the phone right now. There's nothing more that I want than to talk to the three of you together. God, I wish I had a Dr. Phil show. This is when I need it.
I know that feeling. When you reach that moment, you just can't, you don't know what to do anymore, and you just snap as a mama. I'm with you. I get it.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day, a couple joins us to let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you decide who's right. Mark and Dorothy. Dorothy, what's going on?
Okay, so every year we throw this huge Memorial Day party, and last year it was canceled, of course. And so he wants to go back to the usual big party, like 100 people, but like it always destroys our yard. And I'm thinking, why not just scale it down, like 20 people, like close friends and family? That would be so much better.
Mark?
Yeah, it's really not as bad as she remembers. And 20 people, that's not a really good celebration, in my opinion.
You know, it is true. Putting together a party, it's a lot of work. And running the party comes with a certain amount of stress, right? And I mean, it's your property.
Totally.
Even if you know these people and everybody's milling around, it's quite a bit. You know, there's people in and out of the house. If you've got kids, if you've got pets, you know, whatever it may be. You got to restock this, grill this. I get it. It does become a lot. You know, sometimes it's easier to just do it with a small group.
But Mark, what would be your argument as to why you want to continue to go back to the way it was?
I'm not saying there isn't any stress, but it's really worth it when we can get the whole neighborhood in and our friends back and just get everybody to meet each other again and make some new friends, too. It's really worth it. And it's a good time. It's a safe time together. I miss it. I really miss it.
Hmm.
I know you miss it, Mark, but, you know, it's always been too big. It's always been too big. Like, it was always big. And I feel like when I just want to make it small, like, that to me it would just be the best of both worlds. We'll have a party, but we don't have to destroy the lawn. We don't have to, like, recover for 2 days. You know what I mean?
Now, this is the hard part about parties, though, right? Because when you throw a good party, this person tells this person, this person's hanging out with this person that weekend, and Memorial Day weekend. Famous for that, Anna. People are home, they're visiting, yeah. They're around, and everybody wants to go to the big house party.
I wonder how many people at this point are going to scale down their big parties after what happened.
I think those parties are getting crashed. If people hear about them, people are coming anyways if they want to. People are anxious to party.
Let's see what our audience has to say, because they may agree with you, Dorothy. Like, this is it. This is the time that you say,
yeah.
You know what? We're going to scale it down. We're just going to have close friends and family, and it doesn't become a blockbuster party for the neighborhood.
Exactly.
But
exactly.
They may see Mark's side, too. It's tradition. It's fun. Everybody looks forward to it, and especially now that we're getting, quote-unquote, back to that. Let's do it up.
1-800-330-9999. Who said are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
Every year for a decade, Mark and Dorothy would throw a huge Memorial Day party. 100 people, all the neighbors come, all their friends and family. Obviously, it was canceled last year because of the pandemic.
Sure.
But this year, they're trying to figure out what to do. Dorothy thinks this is the perfect time to cut the guest list. 20 people. Who wants to have huge parties like that anyway? Not so much COVID related, more as it's a lot of money. It's a lot of work. We don't even get to enjoy it.
It's a bit of stress, obviously. When you're hosting, you're busy throughout the day. It's not like the same thing as to when you're going to somebody else's barbecue and enjoying yourself. Mm-hmm. But Mark says, wait a minute. The neighborhood's counting on us. If ever there was a time for us to party, this is the year. We got to go big.
Right. So checking our text line this morning, whose side are you on? You can call or text 1-800-330-9999. I'm with the wife. Have a party, but for a small group. Another one writes, let's see. I agree with him. Celebrate. But everyone must be vaccinated. You know, it's funny, Raven, because I'm looking at these texts and they're very much divided. And I think it goes with your line of belief on where you are with the pandemic.
Well, that's the thing,
you
right?
You take the party out of it. That's where it kind of lies.
Right, right. Where you believe that, you know, the science puts you at that moment, or the latest news report or whatever. And that could be regional. That could be personal. It could be all sorts of different things. It could be political. It could be anything, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whose side are you on this morning? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court. Verdict's coming up next. The pandemic has changed a lot of things, but should it change the way you throw parties? Every year for over a decade, Mark and Dorothy would throw a huge Memorial Day party, over 100 people. Last year, got canceled, obviously. This year, Dorothy says, forget about the pandemic, all that. Let's just scale these parties back to 20 people. It'll be less work, and we could actually enjoy it.
Mark says, this is the time the neighborhood needs us the most. They're counting on us. This is the signal back to normalcy. We got to do it big.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Hi, it's Couples Court.
I'm actually on the wife's side because I've been there, done that. And it's a little too crazy, especially now with all the things that have been going on. I wouldn't say 20 people. I would kind of meet them in the middle between 40. It might be a little bit more of a bigger party for him, but small enough for her.
I just imagine making that guest list. Like, which neighbor do you like enough that's going to come? But which right. neighbor do you have to say, no, we're not having a party. Ignore all the tents and balloons.
It's the worst feeling.
Yeah.
And Ann Raven, whose side are you on?
Hi, I'm on the wife side, because having a big party during COVID is a lot of stress, a lot of work, and it's a big risk to have during this time.
And Ann Raven, whose side are you on?
I'm on the wife side. I just don't understand people. I mean, we have a vaccine, but they act like we're not still in the middle of a pandemic. And though people are outside, that's over 100 people in your house, using your bathroom, close. I mean, unless they live on a ranch, they're still going to be on top of one another. I don't think it's the time right now to go back to all that craziness. I think they should scale it back. It just sounds unrealistic right now.
I mean, clearly people are still passionate about this, but there are equal number of people as passionate as her on the other side that say, hey, I am vaccinated. We are open. Let's do this.
Yeah, and as every state has different regulations, if your state says, yeah, you can have a large outdoor gathering.
Right. What's 100 versus 5,000? No big deal.
Yeah, it's a tough call.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Dorothy, our audience agreed with you today. If this is the time. If you're going to make changes in the way you do things, this is like a hard reset because of the pandemic.
Thank you. Oh, my God. That's so good, because I am telling you, it was just too big before, and I'm so glad. Like, I think this is exactly what needed to be reset.
Mark, I know you got to be bummed, but at the same time, I mean, 100 people is so many people that it's probably not likely you got to spend a good amount of time with each of them at a party of that size anyway. So you might find that, you know, 50 people or even a few less than that is going to be better off.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right. But you're all a bunch of party poopers anyway.
Right. Right. And then who decides who gets off the list and on the list? I mean, good luck working
right.
that out.
That's the next big challenge. Yeah. Yeah. All right, if you have a problem too, send an email. CouplesCore@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
Hey, JJ.
Hey.
You are up. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, will you please leave the room?
Sure. Good luck, JJ.
Okay.
Thank you.
We have $800 on the line. Raven's walking out of the studio. When that door closes, he can't hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. I will ask you 5 questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I will bring him back in, ask him the same 5 questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. If it's a tie, it goes to Raven. You ready to play?
I am ready.
Okay, number 1. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame 2021 inductees include Tina Turner, Foo Fighters, and Beyonce's husband. Who is that?
Jay-Z.
Number two, Ellen DeGeneres announced she is ending her daytime talk show in 2022. Ellen voiced what Disney character?
Dory.
Number three, Throwback Thursday. Tiger King made its debut last year with reality stars Joe Exotic and Carol Baskin. What was Carol Baskin's catchphrase?
It's the one Netflix show I didn't watch. I have no idea.
Number four, Katy Perry, Luke Bryan, Celine Dion, and the winner of American Idol Season 4 all announced Las Vegas residencies yesterday. Who was Idol's Season 4 winner?
Carrie Underwood.
And number five, Raya, the exclusive dating app for creative people, a.k.a. famous people, has a wait list of over 100,000 people. Which dating app only allows women to make the first initial contact?
Bumble.
All right, let me bring Raven back in.
Yo.
Okay, JJ got 4 out of 5.
Well, pretty impressive. Let's see how I do.
Huh. Okay. Huh. It might be enough. Number one, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame 2021 inductees include Tina Turner, mm-hmm. Foo Fighters, mm-hmm. and Beyonce's husband. Who is that?
Jay-Z, Jigga, right. Sean Carter.
Isn't it crazy to think that his first album came out 25 years ago?
I mean, honestly, I thought he was already in the Hall of Fame, to tell you the truth. I had Dead Presidents, his first album. I had that on CD, mm-hmm. and I would play it on my portable CD player that was on shocks okay. on my center console of my Camaro.
Oh, my gosh! You're Jay-Z's biggest fan.
No, I'm just old. That's all. I'm
all
right. Old.
Number two, Ellen DeGeneres announced she's ending her daytime talk show in 2022. Ellen voiced what Disney character?
Dory.
Yes.
That's easy.
Number three, Throwback Thursday. Tiger King made its debut last year with reality stars Joe Exotic and Carol Baskin.
Right.
What was Carol Baskin's catchphrase?
Hey, all you cool cats and kittens.
I can't believe you remember that.
I never watched the show.
I know. That's why I asked it.
I just know it because she's made a lot of money off it.
All right. Number four, Katy Perry, Luke Bryan, Celine Dion, and the winner of American Idol Season 4 are all announced their Vegas residencies yesterday.
Cool.
Who was Idol Season 4 winner?
Season 4, is that Carrie Underwood?
Yes.
Oh!
Sit down, Raven.
What?
Oh, my
gosh.
Wow,
that's a big one, man.
Number five, Raya, the exclusive dating app for quote-unquote creative people, otherwise known as famous people, has a wait list of over 100,000 people.
Okay.
Which dating app allows only women to make the first initial contact?
I have no idea. The Match?
The Bumble.
Yeah, I have no idea.
That is so disappointing, because that's the one I thought you were going to get, and I didn't think you were going to get Idol, and I didn't think you were going to get Carol Baskin.
Mm-hmm.
If only I would have watched Tiger King.
If only.
Digging into the archives of my mind on that Carrie Underwood. Mm. Wow.
JJ did, too. Well, guys, you both played a great game, but JJ, he tied you today with 4, so that does get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt, but not the cash.
Enjoy that shirt, buddy. Better luck next time.
This is JJ, and I can't be Raven.
All right, hold on, buddy.